You know, every good gift comes from heaven. You know, our daddy gives us blessings continually. He says, daily, he abundantly blesses us. Everything's available for us, you know. And, you know, how many times do we miss it, you know? You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's just the little things that are so big. You know, the word tells us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But it's the little blessings that we just sometimes neglect or call it a common thing, you know. And we don't even realize it, you know. And it's so many things that are just going on a continuous basis in our life as a believer. And as we begin to walk into the discernment and continue to keep our ears and eyes and heart open, we begin to see so many manifestations of God's blessing in our life. Amen. So many things, and so many times He's protected us. And sometimes when we thought, man, you know, I really wanted to do this, and I really wanted to do that, and I wanted to be here. And then later on we realized it was the hand of God that was holding us from getting there. And we got all frustrated thinking God left us or whatever it might have been in any way, right? Because he likes to protect us. And if we're truly seeking the Lord and His perfect will in our life, He's going to direct our path, you know. And the one thing we don't want to do is get out of position, do we? We don't want to get out of position. And we always want to have a pure heart. It says you can approach the Lord as one who has a pure heart and clean hands. And we want to, and as we approach the Lord, we want to maintain this pure heart on a daily basis. And no matter what we're doing, right? And believe me, God checks us, you know. He checks us. You could go through the cash register, you know, checkout counter at Walmart or whatever, and the woman will give you extra money in return. God wants to know what you're going to do with it. Amen. Now you can say, oh, this must be a blessing from the Lord. Right? Hello? And I'm not saying that mistakes can happen. But when you know about it right then and there, you're to take care of it right then and there. Amen? These are the little things. It can be a few cents off. This is how God checks us out, doesn't He? That's how He tests us, right? And if we lose something, we should be accountable and responsible to replace something. Amen? And no matter what. And that's a part of giving, isn't it? Amen. You know what I'm saying? What we want to do is we want to be giving of ourselves. And you know what? There's a power in giving. There is power in giving. And the devil doesn't want us to give. He doesn't want us to give of ourselves. He doesn't want us to give 100%. Right? I mean, you know, if any of you have ever been at a football game or in sports and anything, and your coach always said, okay, I expect 100% or 110% from you. Right? In fact, in our discipleship program, we expect 110% or 100% of everyone to participate. That's a part of giving of themselves. And as you begin to give of yourself, you're going to find that God is going to begin to bless. He's going to begin to bless. Now, giving is growing. And growing is giving. In other words, maturing. Does everybody understand that? As you begin to give more of yourself, you begin to mature more. Because it's a fruit of maturing. As you're maturing, you give more. As you're giving more, you're maturing. It's a sign of you finally denying yourself. And that's what the devil hates. He hates that we can deny ourselves. Right? Look at what happened to Job. Man, he hated that Job stayed and walked upright no matter what the devil tried to do to him in his life. I mean, even his wife came out and said, man, you might as well curse God and die. And Job said, no way. Everybody else died but Job. Hello? And look at the Lord did. He said, listen, because of what you did, because he denied himself and he gave himself totally to God. He was totally, absolutely surrendered to God. He gave himself to God. God blessed him. Now, we're not giving always to get something. Do you understand that? And so many times people want to give and expect something. And I'm not saying that that's not unbiblical because the Bible says give and you'll receive, right? So, but there's a part of giving where you've got to give with a good heart. You've got to give with a pure heart. Grumblers that give don't get. You know what I'm saying? Grumblers that just give because they have to give and they're grumbling and complaining, they don't receive. Amen. Hello? So understand that a part of giving is the part of growing. And we give because we have a relationship with the Lord and because it's no longer our life, but it's His life that's living in us and through us. Right? Even if you go somewhere, if you're walking down the street and the Lord tells you to do something or help someone, you may have your last $5 on you. And the Lord said, give it to that person. No way. You just missed the blessing of God. You know, I've shared many testimonies on how the Lord had me give. Sometimes, it's just phenomenal. One time He shared with me to give $1,000 to a ministry. And it was about all we had. And I went and did that on a Friday. And that Monday, somebody came by and wrote us a $4,700 check. That was quick return. You know, a few weeks ago, and I think I shared a little bit, the Lord shared with me to give $1,000 to another ministry. And man, we had the worst week. I'm telling you, it was like, man. I mean, we didn't have enough money to do anything. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is rough. And the next thing I knew, like almost 2 weeks went by, and a check came from someone that owed us money from some work that we did. See, the whole thing is you still got to keep giving. No matter what it is, you still got to give of yourself, because giving is growing, and God tests us in our giving to see where we are. Has everybody got it? Remember, we're living for the kingdom of God. We're living for God, not for ourselves anymore. The Bible says that you and I were bought with a price, and it's no longer our life, but His life. If we've not reached that and matured to that arena, the devil still has access to you. Has everybody got it? Okay. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. But what? Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Now check that out, man. He's kind to the unthankful and evil. How many times you run into somebody that's unthankful, and you want to slap the soul out of them and tell them to get right with God? Amen? But you can't. Because that's not right before God, right? Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Isn't that a powerful word? Think about it. What word is in forgiven? Give.
Amen.
Some people who can't forgive can't give. It says, give, read this with me, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. Oh, wow. Now, wait a minute. So if you're willing to give of yourself, something's going to be brought back to you. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So whatever you want to give of yourself, that's what you can expect to get. Has everybody got that? And it says, now listen, there's many ways of receiving, isn't there? We can receive blessings from the Lord. We can get spiritual revelation, right? We can receive a healing, deliverance. But there's something we must do first. Give. We must give of ourselves. We must give. Because the Word tells us sowing and what? Reaping. So remember, giving is a part of growing. Giving is a part of growing. Go to Ephesians 4. So there is actually power in giving. You know that? There's actually a power, there is spiritual power in giving. It is supernatural as you begin to give. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have been given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of uncleanliness, and with greediness. What's the opposite of give? Greed. And you know what greed associates with? Fear. Fear of loss. Fear and greed work together. And you know what it does? It is a spirit of bondage. So people who have a hard time to give them themselves, volunteer, whatever it may be, is because there is greed in their life. And where there's greed, there is fear. And where there's greed, where there's fear, there's demonic activity. Has everybody got that? Because what's happening is they begin to associate with and come in agreement with the kingdom of darkness. And it opens the door to them. Hallelujah. So the opposite of give is greed. And the opposite of greed is give, isn't it? Acts chapter 20. You know, there's many people who think, well, God owes me this because of all the stuff I went through. Some people, you know, it's difficult for some people. They've been on streets living for a long time, and the only thing they know how to do is raid the refrigerator and empty it, and who cares about everybody else? It's because they've been bound by a spirit of greed and fear of losing something. Does everybody understand that? Fear of losing something, which they got to get freed from, don't they? All right? In the book of Acts in chapter 20, in verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Obviously, Paul was being accused of something, or somebody was being accused of something. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that we can see here that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And God checks us on these things. He checks us. He wants to know if you're storing up treasures for yourself or for the kingdom of God. You know, when, after I'd gotten saved and so forth, because I wasn't really working, my wife gave me an allowance of $20 a week, you know. And 95% of the time, that $20 went to somebody else. Because the heart of Christ was manifested in me. And there were people in need. And there were some people who asked for money and the Lord said no. And there were those who asked for it and He said yes. And there were those who didn't ask for it. Or sometimes somebody, He told me who to pick up and give a ride to and who not to. What were we doing? Giving. And you and I as a believer going down the road, wherever we're doing, we're at work or whatever, we've got to be ready to give of ourselves. Give testimony. Amen. Right? Give a helping hand. You know, even when you go to a store or whatever it is, I mean, how many times have you opened a door just by your conduct and somebody looked at you? Wow. You know, these things are not around anymore the way they used to be. This world's a rough place to live in. Everybody's out for themselves. You know, and you open a door for, you know, I went to the bank the other day and there was a woman just coming out of the a car being dropped off, and she had a cane and everything. I knew she needed help. So I waited for her at the door and opened the door and helped her in. And she was just like blessed. She was just blessed because she was, you know, you knew that she was thinking, man, how am I going to open this door and hold this, you know, how am I going to shuffle around this, you know. But she was just blessed. And it was a blessing for me to be able to give. And it should be a blessing, because if you're really right with God, to you it's a blessing to give. To give of yourself, to give a helping hand, to give testimony, right? To be a witness, to give of finances, to give of our labor, whatever it is. Because it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But see, that attitude of greed always says, listen, I gave to you and I expect it back. That attitude of greed. Right? Now, I know we're accountable, right? We got to be responsible for stewardship. And that's how God checks us, doesn't he? But it sure is more blessed to give than to receive. Because it's a, you know what? It's a good feeling, isn't it? It's a good feeling when you know you've pleased your Father. It's like, yes, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to give.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13. In verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Oh. Did you ever notice how a child is? Man, you get around my daughter and it's mine. 3.5 years old, it's my, and then sometimes she can be the sweetest thing, but when sometimes she can become a little flesh creature, you know, but sometimes she just wants to share and give you and whatever, but then there's sometimes it's like, that's mine, you know, that's, I want it because that's mine, that's mine, you know. Maybe we could just buy her something and, you know, that's mine, give me it. No, I'm not sharing it. That's mine. That's greed. That's flesh. But a child doesn't understand those things, do they? They have to be taught those things. Amen? But as we become more mature, we're to overcome those things. I can give you testimony upon testimony and God, how God made way for me to have an opportunity to give. And he blessed me. See, the whole thing is when we have that problem, it's because we're still carnally minded. We can't see things through. We can't see what God is trying to do. We only can see what we're trying to do. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. You know, I want to share something else with you. Giving is love. It's an expression of love. An individual that gives is a representation, an expression of love. Amen? Not manipulation. Love. Hallelujah. Go to John 3, please. John chapter 3. Man, it sure is quiet in here tonight. Is everybody all right? Amen. Don't worry, nobody's going to go in your pockets. We're not going to pass the basket around and ask for an offering, okay? Praise God. Not tonight, anyways. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, so God so what? Loved. And what did he do? He gave. See that coordination? Hallelujah. Now, you know, it doesn't mean that we're to be stupid. you know, make things real plain. You're not going to give somebody you know is doing dope $20 and think that you're going, you know, oh, God said to give. You know, I mean, you know, you don't want to, you want to use discernment, right? In John 10:10, it says the what? The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So there's something he did. He gave, didn't he? He gave. Now who steals? The powers of darkness. So do you understand the association with a thief is the kingdom of darkness? The association with greed, the association with fear is the kingdom of darkness, isn't it? And we've got to really get to that place where we learn how to separate these things. If we don't, we'll constantly think that we're making the decisions, and it's actually darkness that's making the decisions. Remember, Satan takes, Christ gives. In Luke 12, you know, you don't know how many times an angel of the Lord might have come to you and you don't even know it is in the flesh. You know, you have no idea. And I've shared this testimony before. One time I was on my way to a meeting, and of course I didn't have a cell phone. I couldn't afford it. And I pulled over to the side of the road into a place like a store with a little food mart and a thing, a gas station. And as I went to use the telephone there, a payphone, people were just going in and out of the door into this place, and I was looking, and next thing, because I was outside and I was watching them going in and out. And next thing I saw, I realized that there was a big like coat, because it was cold. And there was a pair of feet sticking out of it. And they were just like almost walking over this person. I'm thinking, man, I didn't see no head. I didn't know if this person was dead. Nobody, I was talking to my wife on the phone, and I thought, man, what? And I just, it's like, you know, all right, Lord, you showed me this. Why did you show me this? So I told my wife I'd call her back, and I hung up, and I walked over there, and I looked at this big coat, and this feet, pair of feet sticking out, and it was cold, and I'm thinking, this person has got no shoes or no socks. So I began to lift up this coat, and there was this woman down underneath this coat. And when she looked up to me, one eye was basically gone. And I thought, whoa. And God gave me such great love for this woman. And she sat up with me, and I said, what's going on? And you could tell she'd been on the streets for a while, and her hands were crippled and so forth. And I'm thinking, man, what can I do to help this woman, Lord? And so I said, would you like to pray? And she put her crippled hands together and began to pray with me. It almost ripped me apart. Almost ripped me apart. And so I said to her, I said, well, what can I do for you? And she lifted her foot up. She was like, okay, I don't have any shoes. I thought, wow, man, here I am out in this parking lot on Mercy Drive. Cars are going back and forth. I'm thinking, well, where can I get this woman's shoes? And the Holy Spirit said, put her foot to your foot. And I thought, I'm on my way to a meeting. He said, put her foot to your foot. So I put her foot to my sneakers, and lo and behold, they were a perfect size for her. So I started taking off my sneakers, and the Lord said, your socks, too. So I ended up taking off my socks and sneakers, and her hands were crippled where she couldn't do it. So I had put my socks on her and my sneakers on her and tie her all up, and I could see she had a cigarette butt stuck up and whatever. And he said he'd give her $10. And I said, all right. You know, I didn't care what she used that money for. Do you know what I'm saying? It was like I knew God knew what he was doing with her. You know, that could have been an angel of the Lord. I don't know. But I know I couldn't go to the meeting. I called my wife and said, listen, she goes, I thought you were going to marry. I said, I can't go to this meeting with bare feet. I mean, they wouldn't let me in this place, you know. But you know, and then she told me where she was living in the back of a house at her sister's, this and that, whatever. But you know, it was a blessing to me afterwards, after I was, that God was making an opportunity for me to give. Amen? Let me tell you, I never run short of sneakers. I get sneakers given to me all the time. I never run short of sneakers. you know, even when my sneakers won't even be worn out yet, and somehow I get blessed with a pair of sneakers or two pair. I usually sometimes give them away. I never run out of shoes. I'm always getting blessed with shoes. Praise God. Why? From giving. But was I expecting anything back? No. I wasn't looking for a return. Do you understand that? That's not what it was. It was giving of Christ. Just giving of, it was an expression of love to this woman that somebody cared for her. Right? Hallelujah. I mean, how many times has somebody come up to you and say, man, you know, I need some money for food. Come on in, I'll buy you something. No, no, I just want the money. Then you know they're not too right, are you? I had a guy want to get in a fight with me. He wanted the money instead of the food, you know. So you can discern that, amen? You know where he was coming from. Praise God. What did I say to go? Luke 12. Would you please go there? Oh, okay, well then let me get there. Luke chapter 12 and verse 29. Jesus told his disciples, he said, do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have a what? Anxious mind. Man, I need this. I need that. Oh man, I better work extra hours to get this. Let me share something with you. God checks you out. Would you work extra hours for the kingdom of God? You know what I'm saying? These are the little things that he checks us out on. And if you don't have that relationship with him, it just blows right by you. And you know what? You're still struggling in the flesh, trying to build your own house. For all these things, the nations of the world seek after. The whole world seeks after these things. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be what? Added to you. I hope that this gives an impartation to you about the true meaning of seeking the kingdom of God. Because seeking the kingdom of God is a representation of giving of yourself. Not just sitting there praying. And I'm not saying that that's not a part of it, because it is. But it's also of us giving. He says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he says, as you begin to seek, as you begin to give of yourself, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you everything, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Sell what you have, give alms, provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hmm. Galatians 6. You know, I utilize this as paying God's bills. If I pay God's bills, he pays mine. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, 6. Is everybody there? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. So you think if greed gets involved and we're holding something back that God's asking us to do, is that sowing to the flesh? Amen. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good or giving. For in due season we shall reap if we what? Do not lose heart. Don't give up. I'm telling you, when I gave that $1,000 It was like, man, all hell broke loose. I was fighting every demon. I thought they were all released. I mean, everything was happening. Finances, bounce checks. People that were donating were bouncing checks. I mean, it was like, man, what is up? You know? I mean, all kinds of things were happening. I didn't know how we were going to make ends meet and so forth. And the Lord said to me, are you going to trust me or you? Believe me, I had to beat me down every morning I got up. Because the devil met me there every morning I woke up. Man, do you remember this? Now, what are you going to do? Maybe you better go get a job. Believe me, I thought about it. I said that to my wife. She said, over my dead body. I said, okay. She said, you have a job. If you pick up any more stuff, you can't be able to do it. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm just going to hold on. Hold on. And it was a period of death. Finally, one morning, I got up. I said, thank you, Lord, for the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this period of time. Praise God. And when he pulled me through that day, and things began to happen. Amen? Amen? Oh, praise God. Let me tell you, you don't get tested on the mountaintop. You get tested in the valley. So let us not grow worried. While doing good for in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, God is always bringing opportunity across our path to give so he can get something to us. But the devil always tell you, oh man, that devil, the devil's using that person to try and get something from me. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sowing and reaping. Sowing to the kingdom. You know, I get many people call us up and say, man, you know, we got this, we got that. Why don't you buy gold? Why don't you buy stocks? I said, man, all of that stuff, you can lose money. I said, the best thing you can do is invest in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's nobody can beat the interest in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read this together in verse 15. Power in giving. You know why it's power in giving? Because you have the choice. You have the choice. You also have the choice to forgive. Remember, the word give is in forgive. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are what?
Evil.
Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with what?
Spirit.
The Spirit of God. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving what?
Thanks.
Giving what?
Thanks.
So that's something else you're giving, aren't you? You're giving of thanks to the Lord. You're giving thanks for everything. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know, many times you'll be going through a struggle, and the one thing the devil doesn't want you to do is start giving thanks. He wants you to start looking at your own circumstances. He sucks you to you. Then what you begin to do is you get caught up in self, greed, whatever. I'm not helping. That's it. I'm done this. And then you know what? Just because you did something, you expect something to happen for you immediately. And it doesn't always happen that way. It's got to be God. Amen? It's got to be God. I want to bless my Father. And when it comes from somewhere, I want to make sure it's from my Father. Right? And we ought to please the Father? Go to Ephesians 4 and 25. So we should always be giving thanks. Ephesians 4 and 25. Therefore what? Read it with me. Putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So there's another thing that we shouldn't give. Do not give place to the devil. And how are you going to give place to the devil? Greed. Selfishness. Covetousness. What do you think covetousness is associated with? Same thing. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Who has need? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, like grumbling and complaining, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let me tell you something. You can grieve the Holy Spirit real easy in that area. That's how He checks us. And then we wonder why we don't get revelations from God. We wonder why God is delaying the movement in our life. We wonder why certain things are happening or are not happening. Because we haven't given of ourselves yet. Totally given of ourselves. You know, giving of ourselves shows thanks to God, doesn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Let's see, where are we? Oh, okay. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And of course, that's the other part of give, forgive one another. Right? Go to Proverbs 28, verse 25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. I mean, is that a part of giving or what? Someone who's of a proud heart, they stir up strife. We call them stiff necks. Not rednecks, stiff necks. Okay? And they're stiff necks because they won't budge. Amen? And greed and flesh is manifested in them big time. And they don't trust God. And they can't prosper. They have to work their own prosperity instead of getting the prosperity from God. And most of the time, they're involved in manipulation, self-exaltation, lying, cheating, to prosper. And in the eyes of God, no. No. In verse 26, it says, he who trusts in his own heart is a what? Fool. He calls that individual a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be what? Delivered. Delivered from what? Delivered from that spirit of greed. He who gives to the poor will not lack. Does everybody see that? Say that with me. He who gives to the poor will not lack. But he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Come on now. Read that with me again. He who gives to the poor will not lack. But he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Amen. That's the word, isn't it? Think about how many times the devil convinced you not to help. Amen. Giving. It says, he who gives to the poor. And it doesn't mean somebody who's just homeless. Do you understand that? It doesn't mean somebody who's just poor financially. It means giving. Sometimes it's to a person that's broken, a poor spirit, you know? Somebody who's hurt, who needs help. You're giving to them. You know, you're consoling with them, aren't you? Amen? In one way or another, you're trying to encourage them. Isn't that a part of giving? You know? And we run into a lot of people out there, don't we? From our job sites to wherever we are, there's an opportunity to constantly give. Constantly give. One day I was driving down, and I had my 46 Chrysler limo and gold on both sides that said Jesus. And it was all black with these big gangster white tires because, you know, that's when I hit. It was the last car I had from the antique limousine service I was in the world with. And that was my everyday car. Suicide doors, you know. And I used to chauffeur Jesus, you know. Wasn't his bodyguard, just chauffeured him. He was my bodyguard. Praise God. I had angels all around. And one day there was this old couple on the side of the road. I just saw a car on the side of the road. And I pulled over, and there was this old couple, man, and they wanted to get home. And, you know, I couldn't mess with the car, and I tried fooling with it. And I was like, man, you know. So I got them in. I opened the door for them, let them in. I chauffeured them home. They were like blessed out of their socks, you know, praise and worship music going on. Brought them right into their house, and they called whatever they had to do. And on my way home, I was like, man, you know, I want a candy bar. That's when I ate candy bars. And that was a babe in Christ. Anyways. But the way to the store to get a candy bar, I'd have to go all the way around because I went out of my way. And I said, oh, forget it. It's okay. So I was just thanking the Lord for allowing me the opportunity to give. And I drove up home, pulled up in the driveway, went into the house. I shut the door. As soon as I shut the door, a knock came on my door. And there was a little kid with these chocolate almond candy bars. Just what I liked then. It's like, yes! Thank you. And I knew the Lord was rewarding me because of what I just gave. Does everybody understand that? You know, and sometimes he'll reward you. I was driving down, in fact, this is powerful. I was driving down the East-West Expressway on the thruway there, and there's a guy hitchhiking. I'm thinking, what's up? And the Lord said, pick him up. And so I pulled over to the side of the road, and it was cold out. And this guy's got shorts on, T-shirt. I got a jacket on, my heat cruising in the car. In the 46 limo. So I go to pick him up, and I just happen to have a bunch of clothes in my trunk with jackets and all kinds of stuff. And I didn't have any money. The only thing I had was some change from a piggy bank I used to have just to get some gas because I didn't have enough money. And so I picked this guy up, and the Lord said to me, bring him home and feed him. So I said, man, are you hungry? Yeah, and he was telling me about he had just gotten out of jail or something. It's the only clothes he had. And his child from the woman that he was with was in an accident. And it was in Detroit. And he was going to hitchhike home. And I said, man. So I said, well, come on, let's go get something to eat. So I brought him home, let him take a shower, fed him. And the Lord said, give me your blankie. And I'm thinking, my blankie? You know, this blanket that I used to use, you know. And so I gave him this blanket, gave him a leather jacket, got him all, gave him half of my change that I had and whatever. And we prayed for his kid. And we prayed for his family. And I brought him back to the thruway. Dropped him off, he hitchhiked, and, you know, that was it. I didn't think anything of it. And about 4 months later, I got a letter from him. And when he went to Detroit, he said there was a warrant out for him, and he turned himself in. His kid was doing fine, and he was doing great. And he thanked God. I gave him a Bible, led him to the Lord, and so forth. Do you know what I'm saying? Just the letter was a response of something that was a part of giving. That blessed me. Even when guys leave here, and some of them who didn't complete the program and went out there, they write me from jail. Nobody gets away with breaking covenant with God.
No.
And they write me from jail, and they say, man, thank you, or whatever. We get responses from them. Please send me some teachings, you know, or whatever, or send me a Bible. I want to get back, or whatever, you know. And just because we were able to give. See, even the guys in the discipleship house here, you have an opportunity to give to one another. Now, you may not get the reward today, and you might not even get recognized for what you've done, but it's all written in heaven.
Amen.
And that's all that matters, is that He knows.
Amen.
That's all that matters. You know, nobody may ever know what you did for somebody,
Amen.
But He knows. And that's all that matters, isn't it? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. The rich are miserable because they're trying to maintain what they have. Has everybody got that? If you're miserable because you're trying to maintain what you have, then it's not from God. You got it. And if your relationship isn't right with God, no matter what God gives you, you're going to try to work to maintain it. Now, we're to upkeep things and be responsible, right? But then you'll be afraid of losing it. And you won't be able to give up that car. You won't be able to give up that whatever. Amen? And when God's trying to bless you with something. I thank God He's allowed me to give away a lot of cars. And even sell some cars at a decent price. Because there'd be more. And He's returning cars. We're always getting cars. Praise God. Shoes, sneakers, cars. Hallelujah. Still waiting for some tools, but praise God, they're coming. In verse 18, let them do good that they may be rich in what? Good works. Ready to what?
Give.
Ready to what?
Give.
Willing to what?
Share.
Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on what? Eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. Making way. Given. Go to James chapter 1. God gives us richly all things. In verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. James chapter 1 and verse 2, is everybody there?
Amen.
Count it all what?
Joy.
Oh, hallelujah. Are you counting it all joy?
Amen.
Sure I am. knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. Oh, hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea given and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, man unstable in all of his ways. Double-minded, unstable. Double-mindedness stops the giving. Has everybody got it? He says he gives to everyone, doesn't he? But one of the things that prevent you from receiving from God, or from God to stop giving to you, is double-mindedness. Does everybody understand that? There's a couple other things too. James 4 verse 3. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's another thing that God prevents from giving to us. Amen? Now go to verse 6. Spending it on our own pleasures. And what's verse 6 say? but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So being humble is an open opportunity to receive, isn't it? But pridefulness is an opportunity not to receive. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here we go back to that double-minded again. So God resists the proud. He holds back his giving to the proud, but he gives to the humble. Go to Luke 12. If any of this affects you, praise God. It's a good opportunity to repent. Luke chapter 12. Verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat, drink, and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. How many of you have ever, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you all lost your stuff, some of your stuff to unbelievers? You know, like the collection agency? That's why. It wasn't a good, faithful steward. Amen? You know, when we were out using drugs or whatever, doing our own thing, whatever, and next thing we know, we got in problems and this, that, and whatever, and the world came and took our stuff. Right? It's why? Well, because we were not good stewards, were we? And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed these deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. So there's no no escape. If you knew or you didn't know. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much shall be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So what's been given to me and you, we are accountable for, aren't we? We are responsible and accountable. Now listen, whatever has been given to you, whether it be vehicles, whether it be a business, whether it be your a family, whether it be spiritual insight, wisdom, and knowledge, whatever it is that God is giving you, you and I are accountable. We're responsible for that and what we do with it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Where are we? Okay. Let's go a little further. Hebrews 13 and 16. Let's start at 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Hallelujah. But do not forget to do good and to what? Share. For what? Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one, didn't I? Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's another part of giving, isn't it? Isn't praise and worship an expression of giving? But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is what? Well pleased. Isn't our whole purpose is to please God?
Amen.
So a part of giving is an expression of love and a desire to please God, isn't it? Proverbs 11. Remember that woman that the Lord said about it was time for alms or and offerings and so forth. And he said, look it, everyone has given this much money, but this woman didn't have any money, and she gave. What, she gave 2 bits or something like that? Yeah. But she gave out of her lack, not out of her abundance. And he acknowledged her, didn't he?
Amen.
Amen. In Proverbs chapter 11, sometimes you just don't feel like helping. Sometimes you just don't feel like giving of yourself. You know what? That's when you do it. Because that's when you're tested. In verse 25. The generous soul will be made what?
Rich.
Rich. The generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. Yes. Has everybody got that? And he who waters will be watered himself. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Oh, hallelujah. He who sows sparingly, you know, I mean, you know, I praise God for what he's doing and so forth, and there's sometimes I get a check that says $14.35. For tithe. I'm like, man. Talk about, you know, nitty gritty, you know. I mean, well, that's all I had. You mean you didn't have 70 something cents more to make it even $14 or $15? You know, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Let me share something with you. Our tithe protects our money. Our offering causes increase. Our tithe is required. Offering brings increase. But he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart or whatever he has available. Not what? Come on, are you reading it with me? Come on, read it. Not what? Grudgingly. Or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to what? Make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Do you understand what the Lord's trying to do? He's trying to give us abundant, isn't he? But we first have to deny ourselves and give abundant. So we can get it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Come on, let's read it now, all right? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we're to honor him with our first possessions, aren't we? Our first fruits, our possessions. Everything that God gives us, we return to him because it's his. It's his. How many times have you been blessed? Somebody blessed you with whatever. Did you ever give God his portion of it? That's why sometimes things happen. Well, I got a bonus at work. Praise God. Yeah, I just went out and spent it. Well, did you ever give your first, did you give your tithe on it, Dad? Somebody blesses you with a vehicle, did you give that back to the Lord? Do you understand that? Lord, I commit this vehicle or this house or this to you and for you to use it according to your will. Amen? So what? I mean, what's he trying to do? He's trying to bless us, isn't he? It says, so that we'll have plenty. So that our barns will overflow. And we'll have new wine. Those are spiritual blessings. Praise God. I had a testimony from... we got a tithe from an individual. Jim's daughter. Sarah. And I thought, when the tithe came in, I thought, man, where did she get this kind of money? I'm thinking, man, she's working, but she's going to school full time. Come to find out, she tithed on her student loan.
Wow.
She tithed on her student loan, and the reason why she did that was because she wanted to make sure that it was paid back in full. Now, I mean, come on, think about that. She tithed on her student loan so that it would be paid back in full. I mean, come on, think about it. How many of us have ever tithed on a loan? Right? Forget it. I mean, praise God. She tithed on the loan so that it would be paid back fully. I mean, it's God. That's God. That blew my mind when I heard that. That blessed my socks off. Go to Leviticus 27. Oh, hallelujah. That's powerful. Okay, verse 27:30. And it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." Do you understand that? Even our tithe is holy to God. It's holy. Our offerings are holy to Him. Our giving of ourself is holy to Him. Everything is holy to Him in that area. Amen? Go to Nehemiah 12. So our tithe is holy, isn't it? Nehemiah chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 12. Praise God. Is everybody there? It's right before Job. There's Esther, Nehemiah, Esther, and Job. The employment section, job, right? Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 44. Read it with me, please. "And at the same time, someone appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes." Say it again. For the what? Offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes. There's offerings, first fruits, and tithes. Tithes are 10%, which is mandatory. Then there's the first fruits of all of our possessions. And then there's offerings. Those are the bonus ones. Your offering always brings increase. "To gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions specified by the law for the priests and for the Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered." Does everybody see that? So there's three parts, isn't there? There's tithes, right? There's first fruits, and there's offerings. And it's the offerings that bring your increase, giving of ourself. Hallelujah. Go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. And there were the feasts of the Lord. There's seven feasts of the Lord. And that they celebrate each year. And three times a year the Lord had them come before them. And in verse 16, it said, "Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord," what? Empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able. In other words, what his income is or what he has. According to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Go to Malachi 3. So we're to give according to the blessing of the Lord, which is our income. Malachi chapter 3. Praise God. Malachi chapter 3. And you know, Paul wrote a letter, and I'm not going to get into all of that. He wrote a letter to the church saying, listen, put your tithes aside every week, right? You know, so that they could give every week. Because we get paid every week, right? And, you know, there are some people who think that, well, I'll just save up my tithes and give at a certain time. You know, you try and tell that hungry kid that needs that money today. Well, hold on. It's like holding the sandwich back. You know, it's like holding the sandwich bag for my kid that's needing something. Well, listen, when I can give you this sandwich right now, but let me wait till I can get a bunch of them so you can eat for a long time. Let me just save up all of this here, and then I'll give it to you. And that's ridiculous. That's not the teaching of the Lord. Amen? That's not the teaching of the Lord. Well, I'll just save up my tithes and give it all at once. No, that's not God. You try and tell that starving kid who needs some food that you're saving up so they can have a meal for a longer period of time. Amen? Let's not get caught up in foolishness. And that's called deception anyways. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 10. And verse 8. Would you read it with me? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. How many of y'all want a curse? And steal God from his tithes and his offerings. Hello? Some of us wonder why we haven't been able to get anywhere, because that's all we've done is tithe and not offered. And when there's a volunteer time, that's a time to offer. But you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room even enough to receive it. Some of us need favor of God. Amen. We need favor. We need a way of escape for certain things in our life that we've done. Sometimes some of these things are going to grab some of the reaping that is due us, and God is going to take it away because of our offerings. Does everybody understand that? Because of some of the things that we're giving. You know, especially, you know, and our services and so forth, we don't really preach about this because we don't want to interfere. You know, we don't talk about tithes and offerings in our anointing services and so forth. But we do teach it in the Bible studies. And God is looking for a cheerful giver. A giving is a part of love. Giving is of Christ. And when people graduate from our discipleship house, we want them to be able to go and become givers. Amen? God wants to train us up so that we're givers. The only reason why we're not givers is because we're still fleshed out. And we're still caught in greed and fear of giving. Some of us can't go on in our jobs because we're not givers. We just make ends meet. Well, I don't want to just make ends meet.
Amen.
Amen? Let's close in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Hallelujah. In verse 5. Would you read it? 5 through 8. Would you read it with me? These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. In other words, don't get sucked up into this greed and selfishness. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Become givers, not just takers. And do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Can you imagine going out saying, hi, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do you have for me? In verse 8, it says what? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Hello? It's time to become givers and not greeters. Amen. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we want to be totally pleasing to you in every area. And Lord, whatever area in our life of giving of either ourselves or offerings or first fruits or tithes that we have neglected from in any way, we repent. We repent, Lord. We repent. And Lord, in any area of our life that we've assumed that we can just go take, we repent. Lord, you've blessed each and every one with a measure of blessing. Let us utilize this blessing. Teach us, Lord, what to do with this blessing as we offer it back to you because it's all yours. We're yours. Our clothes are yours. Our finances are yours. Our vehicles and homes and family, they're yours, and we give them back to you tonight. And we ask that you'll establish it. Our businesses are yours. This ministry is yours. Everything's yours, Dad. Help us, Lord, to be more Christ-like in giving of ourselves for your glory. To expand your kingdom and bring honor to your name, rescuing the lost. In Jesus' name.